Our text this morning is 1 Peter chapter 5. The elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. And these are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed in Christ, there is a prayer written by Martin Luther 5 centuries ago, hanging in the sacristy in many churches, the room where pastors prepare for the worship service. There's a copy of it downstairs in the room that pastors use here to vest before chapel. It's a prayer that sums up well the work of the pastor and his need for continual help and comfort from the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ. This is the prayer. Lord God, you have appointed me as a pastor in your church, but you see how unsuited I am to meet so great and difficult a task. If I had lacked your help, I would have ruined everything long ago. Therefore, I call upon you. I wish to devote my mouth and my heart to you. I shall teach the people. I myself will learn and ponder diligently upon your word. Use me as your instrument, but do not forsake me, for if I ever should be on my own, I would easily wreck it all. A pastor, when he is first ordained into the office of the holy ministry, and subsequently when he is installed in another congregation, or here at Bethany, makes a series of voluntary promises. One of them is this: do you solemnly promise that you will perform the duties of your office in accordance with these confessions, and that all your teaching and your administration of the sacraments shall be in conformity with the Holy Scriptures and with these confessions? To which you answer, I do. When a man first enters the office of pastor, he generally has only a limited idea of what lies ahead of him as he cares for the souls committed to his pastoral supervision. He doesn't really know how he'll respond when he receives a phone call at 2 o'clock in the morning with the news that one of his members was just killed in a car accident, and would he please go to the family home and meet the wife and children. He doesn't really know how he will respond when he hears a private confession of a sin that shakes him to his core, as a penitent silently weeps in sorrow. He doesn't know what it feels like to grieve with a young mother and father as the body of their baby is lowered into a small grave after a sudden and deadly illness. He is perhaps more prepared, but still not completely, to rejoice with the angels over one sinner who repents, to thank God for the simple application of water and spoken word on the head of a child brought to his Savior, to look at boys and girls you've taught for the past few years going through catechism and hearing their promise that they will suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from this faith, or even for that quiet joy at the death of a faithful elderly member who has been brought home to his Savior. He also doesn't know yet the grind of writing 60 or more sermons every year for decades. It is a grind, and yes, it is also an opportunity to study deeply the Holy Scriptures and bring that beautiful message of the gospel to souls who long to hear that Savior's voice week after week. It can be a burden, but also one of the greatest gifts God has ever given to a man. And then you hear that word that closes our text today, where Peter says, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. All of this and so much more is compressed into these few words which St. Peter, inspired by God the Holy Spirit, wrote to the elders, his fellow pastors. He said, "Shepherd the flock of God which is among you." Shepherd is the verb, the action word which gives pastors their marching orders. One can perhaps then understand the words of Luther's sacristy prayer a bit more when you understand the work pastors are called to do by the Most High God. They are not their own bosses. They are not given the freedom to be autonomous innovators for the flock entrusted to their pastoral care. We pray, "I shall teach the people. I myself will learn and ponder diligently upon your word. Use me as your instrument." The teaching committed to the pastor is not his. It is God's. He is the representative of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Word made flesh, the Alpha and the Omega. And so the pastor learns to pray, Lord, if I'd lacked your help, I would have ruined everything. If ever I should be on my own, I would easily wreck it all. It is not hard to make a man who desires to be a faithful pastor to feel guilty. Peter knew this guilt and shame intimately. We heard about him last week, how Jesus restored Peter after Peter's triple denial. "I do not know Jesus." Pastors, just like all of you, need forgiveness. When they make a mistake, they may be burdened by wondering about the eternal consequences for their failure. But Jesus deliberately took Peter back. Peter was not abandoned, but welcomed, forgiven. The chief shepherd abides with those who are called to be the shepherds of his flock. I'm into my fifth decade now of serving in the office of the Holy Ministry, and I can look back at words I should have said or words I should not have said, at failed visits of the sick, at broken marriages of those I loved but couldn't hold their marriage together, at confirmants, some of whom I would have thought were the brightest in the class, and yet they've chosen to leave the Christian faith. All of this may sound a tad morose. Perhaps it means I shouldn't have been listening to Albinoni's Adagio the other night when I was writing this. But it's all very real. And yet I cannot imagine doing anything else with my life. One learns more and more to rely on the promises of the Good Shepherd and to trust that it is his voice, not mine or any other pastor's, his words that bring life, forgiveness of sins, salvation. I've witnessed the joy of a new birth at the baptismal font, of a faithful flock gathering regularly because they want to hear God's word and receive the forgiveness of sins through the body and blood of Christ in his Holy Supper. A miracle so profound and yet so simple. I've also seen so many quiet acts of kindness that don't make the papers or the news, but where God's people care for those people in their lives. God's ways are so far beyond us. Water and word bring salvation. Bread and wine bring forgiveness. And through the mouth of a simple pastor is spoken God's forgiveness for you, for this gathering, and for the world. Thank God for faithful pastors, and may he continue to bless his flock with such men. In Jesus' name, amen.